what that is?
It's that music. It's that rock and roll stuff. Meow.
Wow.
And it's, I think we have a trigger warning. Because this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technical tabulations, helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty. And that was just too many B's and S's, you know? So can you feel it? Can you feel it, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, I feel it, man.
Me too. I feel something. So, I guess the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license, which allows use by everyone except those lame old governments, because we don't want those. And you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, you know what time of year it is, Jeremy?
It's almost Halloween.
Well, yeah, my favorite holiday in the world. But no, it's that time of year when my wallet hurts. You know what I had to do today?
No, it's the end of September.
I had to order heating oil.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little further south than you. I don't have to do that for another month or so. But yeah, that's usually a huge pain in the rear end.
Yeah, I was, you know, going to put it off as long as possible, and I think it was Monday morning, I woke up, and it was like 45 degrees in my house. I did not want to get out of bed. It was a bit chilly. So I said, well, I guess I better not put it off any longer. Now, you watch, we'll probably have an end of September heat wave now that I've ordered oil, which is fine with me. I wouldn't complain in the least.
Yeah, well, you got it. Well, I mean, unless the price deviates greatly between now and then, you know, after the fact, it's really not. You're gonna use it anyway, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's I can't complain. It's a lot cheaper than it was when I first bought my house and got all the wood in the basement and ready to hunker down for the winter. But maybe we'll get lucky and it'll be mild again like it was last year.
Yeah, see, well, I mean, you deal with even worse winters than I do, but I mean, it gets cold enough here, although I don't mind it that much. And this past year actually wasn't as bad for me with the heating oil. Because with my kids not here, you know, only here part time now, I don't have to heat the house as much because I can walk around in a couple of sweatshirts and be fine and deal with it that way. I've even slept in sweatshirts that refuse to turn on the heat. It got so bad, I was just gonna say, at one point it got so bad my oil company tried to discontinue my service on the grounds that they assumed I was some kind of slumlord who was refusing to pay for the, and I'm like, I live in a 920 square foot house. I'm one guy, you know, because it happened before I had kids, and then it happened last year too. I was getting these questions, and I'm like, I'm one guy. I can put on a sweatshirt and a jacket. It's cool, man. Like, what the heck? Like, I don't have to. Like, you're gonna shut me off because I'm not buying enough of your oil? Are you kidding me? I'm here. I'm trying to be like, you know, be cost effective and also, you know, not pollute the environment as much. And you want to punish me for that? What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. Well, you know what it is too. It's you're a dad. You know, have you ever seen that Family Guy skit where Peter's like, hey, somebody touched the heat thing, and his neighbor comes in, he's like, did your kid touch the heater thing? Monitor? Yeah, so, and that's what it is. I've got mine set to the automatic thing, so I don't have to worry about it. But the best investment I ever made, aside from my wood stove, is I got one of those little propane heaters that you like just attach to a propane tank.
Sure, yeah.
And it's great. It's tiny, and you know, a tank lasts a while. You got to make sure you have your CO2, you know, like a smoke alarm, but for the CO2. You got to make sure you have that functioning. You know, now's the time of year. Test all your fire alarms and your CO2 alarms. But you know, you get that thing going, and you just crack a window every now and then, and it's great. In fact, I've got it running in the background right now. So, yay, winter in New England! It's such a lovely thing. Someday I'm going to retire to that tropical island with coconuts and rum all day, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah, well, retirement these days for most people is non-existent, I think. I don't know. I think people like us have to hope for the state to collapse before we reach that point, because otherwise we're going to be stuck like everybody else.
Yeah, well, I'm not planning on that Social Security they've been stealing for the last 25 years, that's for sure.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I gave up on that dream, you know, once I realized the scam that it was. And I, you know, may or may not have just stopped contributing to it, because what's the point? But, you know, I've pretty much known, you know, since a little before I started my business almost 11 years ago, that I was going to have to provide for my own retirement regardless. So I was never counting on that.
Yeah, I think most people understand that now. I mean, even the youngsters, I've told my kid, I was like, because she just had her first job interview this week, and I said, all right, kid. Yeah, she's doing the daycare thing at the YMCA, which is good, because at high school they have the vocational center, you know, where they actually teach you skills besides book learning, you know, common core crap. Mm. And she does the daycare at the Votech Center. So this, I think this will be a good first job for her. And she's great with kids. She loves little kids, and they love her, so.
Well, you kind of have to be in that line of work.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do it. Kids, me and kids, I don't know.
as you're talking about your daughter.
Well, yeah, but my daughter's a 17-year-old, you know. She's kind of nerdy like me. We get along well, you know.
Well, yeah, but didn't you, you know, at some point she was younger, was she not?
Well, she was, but she was always kind of cute and odd, and yeah, so it worked out all right. I don't know. I've grown much more tolerant of children as I've gotten older. I always feel
you're mellowing with age.
Yeah. I think it happens, you know. I mean, see, I was talking with a friend about that. It's funny how your relationship with your parents changes as you get older too, you know. They just seem to be a little more laid back.
Yeah, I guess maybe in general, my parents not so much. Well, actually my dad has become much more laid back. My mom has actually gone in the opposite direction, but
well, yeah, that can happen.
But you know, I don't really, other than my dad, I don't really associate with much of my family anymore, which is actually a complete reversal, because I used to associate with my mom and most of her family, and I had shunned my dad and his family. And now my dad, because he's the only one who understands where I'm coming from these days, he's, you know, I've talked about plenty of times, he's almost there. Not quite, almost there. But he's, you know, he at least understands and appreciates what I'm doing, and is actually the only one who I think actually has listened to any of the content I've put out in over the last almost 2 years now.
That's cool, though.
So, yeah, but I had to write everybody else off, because I'm like, you know what?
It's kind of funny, because like, back in the day, you know, I would sit there and lecture my dad, especially when I was still a minarchist and kind of transitioning to an anarchist, you know, and I've told the story before how I kind of played Ron Paul speeches and stuff for him, and he would kind of sort of get it, because he was always a real hardcore liberal, and you know, he'd be like, you just need to relax and let all that go and not focus on it so much. And now, you know, I went over Sunday for dinner, and the last couple of times he'll be like, he'll be talking about something. I'll be like, God, I can't wait till November's over. If I have to deal with any more political discussions in person or on social media, my head is going to explode. He's, you know, we've kind of reversed the roles. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, well, see, my dad was the one who used to be yelling at me and trying to convince me of stuff, because that's how I ended up here, because he was the hardcore or Tea Party guy, you know, Obama's a Muslim, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he was pretty hardcore about all that stuff, you know, but with a lot of neocon and a lot of neocon tendencies on top of that. But he was, you know, insisted that I had to look at all this stuff, and kept telling me and telling me and telling me and telling me.
If you could just see it, you just need to understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I finally, after putting him off for about a year, I think, with all the phone calls, emails, Facebook messages, everything that he was sending me, after about a year of ignoring him, I finally said, all right, you know what? I'm going to look into this for you, but it's just going to be to prove you wrong and to shut you up because you're really getting annoying at this point. And that's what I set out to do. And yeah, it so backfired in every direction because I ended up going further than him and, realizing that he was kind of right about some stuff. Other stuff he had completely wrong, obviously, but it was, I kept going further where he didn't. And now I'm trying to drag him along behind me a couple of years later.
And he's kicking and screaming.
No, he's so close, though. Like, he shared, he actually uses, social media just to share stuff and the information that he wants to get out there. Like, it's really nothing personal, I think, almost ever on his wall. It's always political or whatever. But more and more I catch him sharing stuff from not only the stuff that I put out, but things that friends of mine, pages he's decided to follow on just because he sees that I share stuff from there and stuff like that. And I find him doing that too. And then like the next day I have him five or six emails, articles like today, all about Hillary Clinton and what's that in her dress and why does it look like she has this, oh, come on, man. Really?
Really? Oh, it's so entertaining to watch, though. It really is.
And it's like, of all the things, like, we've discussed this, there's no point in getting involved in this debacle of a debate and the whole election in the first place. It's just a waste of your time. We've been through this. Why are you still focused? I don't get it.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I have a good movie recommendation for all you folks out there. I just watched a movie last night called Kill the Messenger, and it's a Hollywood depiction of Gary Webb, and it's based on the book Dark Alliance. If you don't know, Gary Webb is pretty much the guy who brought to light the CIA's selling
crack cocaine.
Yeah, and he kind of broke the whole Iran-Contra story, and it shows just how much the government ruined his life when he tried to come out with the truth and tell this story. And I wasn't expecting much because it's Hollywood, but the movie was really well done. It didn't really have any big Freedom big stars. With Michael Dean.
This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
It's all garbage.
Yeah. You're not entitled to anything that you did not, produce.
Gimme.
Or purchase or trade for, legitimately.
Yeah, tell that to the cops. So, one of the things I was talking about with you earlier, it's kind of been on my mind lately. I think over the last, it's been more than a year, but it's really intensified in the last year. Is you see the powers that shouldn't be and their lackeys in the media really promoting this whole racism thing, right? It's cops hate black people. White people hate black people. Everybody hates black people. And it's the black people versus the white people and this sort of thing. And basically they're pimping racism. And I think they're doing it to distract from the real issues. They're doing it to prevent people from reuniting with common goals and ideas and fighting the good fight, you know, fighting the people that are really screwing them over on a daily basis. And I came across a interesting quote by Ron Paul on racism, and he stated, "Racism is simply an ugly form of collectivism, the mindset that views humans strictly as members of groups rather than individuals. Racists believe that all individuals who share superficial physical characteristics are alike. As collectivists, racists only think in terms of groups. By encouraging Americans to adopt a group mentality, the advocates of so-called diversity actually perpetuate racism. Their obsession with racial group identity is inherently racist. The true antidote to racism is liberty." What do you think about that?
I do recall that quote. That's a good one. I do like that. It's I think it's pretty accurate because aside from the fact that pretty much everything the people that he's referring to purport to do is the opposite of what they're actually doing. In this case, it is a form of collectivism. It absolutely is, because like you said, you know, they view everybody the same, and that can't get you anywhere. That's one of the biggest problems with government. One size fits all, the attitude never works out.
No. Well, it's that collectivism, I think it's so destructive, right? Like, I guess I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I understand the whole tribal thing. Like, you have your tribal identity, your core group. But identifying with that sort of tribalism doesn't necessarily promote racism. It doesn't necessarily promote collectivism. And what I see, you know, with the black versus white thing and the cops and everything, it's racism, but I think Ron is right. On a deeper level, it's collectivism. It's putting people into groups and strategically placing groups against one another to distract and to prevent, you know, meaningful relationships from developing that might actually further, you know, get these groups working together and realizing that they're not so different from each other and that they are all individuals. And I don't know, man. I guess one of the things I've really tried to stress with people when I talk to them lately is that's what we need to do. Collectivism is the root problem, and we need to stop hacking at these branches of, oh, it's the Democrats, or oh, it's the white people with their privilege, or oh, it's the, you know, it's collectivism. It's lumping everything into one group and centralizing everything. That's not how things work. We want to be individuals. We want to be decentralized so that we can be stronger and that we can grow and learn.
Well, we want to be that way. But a lot of those people actually, well, at least they think they prefer that group mentality. But I agree with you. The only thing I would ask is, I mean, it's definitely happening now, but is it really new? Because this is not a new tactic. You know, I mean, the divide and conquer stuff, which has been going on a lot longer than, you know, even the recent past. But it's been this way for, you know, ever since, well, I guess at least the war between the states, when, you know, the relations were actually allowed to start you know, mixing.
For shame.
The horror, you know. So, but you know, it's just been a tactic ever since. But I don't know, is it being ramped up now? I don't know. I can't
collectivism
tell.
Bad.
Well, yeah, bad. That's a given.
Well, you'd think. Well, we'll be back with more individualism after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
So, yeah, I kind of went out with the whole collectivism bad thing. People get hung up on words. I was telling you a story. When I first started getting into the idea of Anonymous, you know, that hacker group, which is, it's not one thing. It's not collectivized. It's not centralized. It's totally decentralized. It's amazing. A friend of mine who was kind of ahead of the curve with the whole anarchist thought, she kind of introduced me to a lot of that stuff. She said to me, when you think of Anonymous, think of it like this. They're a collective of individuals. And, you know, my first thought was a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, collectivists, they're bad. And she said, no, I didn't say collectivists. I said they are a collective, meaning that they are a loosely knit, decentralized, but linked group that work individually towards common goals. You know, they are a collective of individuals. And once I really began to understand what she meant by that, it's like the veil was removed from my eyes. My mind was blown. Oh, wow. And, you know, that started me down a whole nother rabbit hole. But, yeah, it's... Don't always get hung up on words, you know, and don't be afraid to challenge your preconceived notions, because you might find, you might discover things that are really cool.
Well, language, especially the English language, is tricky like that, because there's many words that have many definitions. Some of them even said differently, even though they're spelled the same. It's so, it can be very confusing.
But wait, what is that, a homonym?
Well, no, I meant like certain words, like, you know, read and red.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, confusing.
Oh, yes, sorry. Very, very, very.
I ran into that today. I was writing a piece and yeah, I was like, now somebody's going to read that and they're going to wonder which word I meant. So, well.
Yeah.
So, we were talking a little while ago, and I guess there's an article on themindunleashed.com, and it's Ron Paul, vote all you want, but the secret government won't change. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole article, but when you read that headline, it's like, uh-oh. He's one of those conspiracy theorists.
Tinfoil hat.
Right. And, well, read the article. He's really not. And I think he's saying what a lot of people have said. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago. You can find it on the Freedom Fiends blog. It's, I think I called, like, What's Better Than Voting? Just About Everything. And it's, you know, my idea of alternatives to going out and voting. But one of the issues I brought up in that article was, you know, everyone's all hung up on, I don't know, the two puppets that are running for president this year. And that's ridiculous. And even like the congressmen and senators and all that, you know, I mean, I guess that's more important than the puppets that run for the head office, but it's all kind of nonsense. But you can vote all these people and shuffle them around. You know, what's the saying? Shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. You can do all that stuff. And that's all good and well, but what about all the bureaus, the agencies, the department of, you know, if you look at the breakdown of the federal government, there's just literally thousands. I have a chart that somebody sent me a number of years back, and it shows like all the departments and what branches they fall under. And actually, what's really shocking is a lot of them fall under the executive branch now, which is kind of scary. But I digress. Anyway, the people that work in these departments and these bureaus, these are the bureaucrats, the career bureaucrats that have been there for, you know, 20, 30, sometimes 40 years. these are the evil people that craft these ridiculous policies that say you can't dig a ditch on your property because it violates some ridiculous EPA regulation or something. And these people aren't held accountable. These people have... The general public has no say in if these people are employed. We can't just vote them out. And that's what the secret government is. I know a lot of people have called it the deep state, especially when you're talking about the military side of it. You know, the Pentagon and the NSA and the CIA. But it's all of it. And go ahead, vote. But you can't really affect that part of the government machine with your vote. And they want you to vote. They want you to go and select puppets and select spokespersons because you're focusing all your energy into that and you're not really striking at the root.
Sure. I mean, that's... Yeah, they don't. It's funny too, because so many people will recognize parts of that and still go ahead and go, well, there's no other way. We still have to try. And I mean, or at the very least, at least every other election, there's always that new shiny object, the one person who comes in with all the flash. You know, it's Trump this time. It was Obama last time, and they. People just get it. Really, I've equated them to ferrets before, you know, just like, ooh, shiny object. And they forget all about everything that happened yesterday and got them, you know, got them in this mess in the first place. No, we're not going to change it. We'll just do it a little more. That'll fix it.
Yeah, it's that short-term memory.
Exactly. But yeah, you're right. That whole whatever you want to call it, the shadow government, whatever. Like, there's, I mean, people make it sound more nefarious than it. I mean, it is bad, but like you said, it's just these people that have been in these positions forever, and you can't touch them. It's the same way. Like, it's the same actually. Way the only part of the government that may actually do something in the line of helping that along, for the most part, is the judicial system, and for the most part. Those people are untouchable too, because a lot of them are not elected. Yep. So anybody in an unelectable position is more of a threat to you and your family than any of the politicians who you can change out. Because like you said, of the, what is it, 535, I guess, is the number of all of them put together.
Yeah.
You know, with all of, even you change out all those people, it doesn't matter. You can replace them with all new people. Won't matter. You'll have the same. You may have a slight respite, you know, respite there, but other than that, no.
Well, I think, and I bet your dad could probably speak to this. I know I've talked to people who were involved in the Tea Party movement and actually got elected to not just state, but federal office. And they got there with all these grand ideas. And they were good people. I'm not questioning their motives and their morals. But they got there and, you know, they were told to sit down and shut up, follow the party line, and maybe in 4 to 6 years they could actually get something through that they believed in. But until then, they had a role to fill. And if they didn't, they were out. And that's how the machine works, right? So we spend all this time saying if we could just get, you know, the right guy or the right gal in there, they would fix things. That whole great man theory. And you're neglecting the fact that the system is set up to not allow that sort of thing. You're not attacking the machine. You're not attacking the root. You're just hanging out on the fringes, on the outlying areas. And it isn't until people start to question the machine itself and is that machine necessary that I think we won't see that meaningful change.
Yeah. It's funny that reminded me, when you started talking about that, it reminded me, you ever see the movie, was it The Distinguished Gentleman? Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yes.
Like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
That's exactly what he went through. And when people, whoever watched that movie probably at the time was probably just like, oh, that's just, you know, that's because everybody makes, you know, so many people, all politicians are liars and crooks, but they still go out and vote for him anyway.
I know. But what is people, that?
But I think most people just say it almost reflexively, but I don't think they honestly believe it about all of them, especially any ones that they can actually get behind for any reason. Because any person who comes along, even for somebody who seems like they're getting completely fed up with politics and may even say that they're completely fed up with politics and they're just not going to deal with it anymore, they always get drawn back in by that one person who seems like the really good person, you know, the really good one, the one who could do things. And then they either end up like the people you're talking about who get told to just sit there and be quiet, or they get won over even quicker. And you see that you speaking of the Tea Party, I remember seeing that with, you know, because I was kind of mocking my dad at the time as it was happening, but a lot of those people who swept in and got elected within a year were all of a sudden doing things that were like completely, and they seemed to be quite happy about it too. It wasn't like they were just, because that's the other thing, you know, you get in there and you're willing to really play ball right away. Oh, you'll not only be, you know, you'll not only get your chance to do things later on, but you'll get opportunities even quicker if you, you know, because you see it all the time. People change really quickly, or because if they don't, they'll end up leaving on their own.
Yeah.
Because they actually have a conscience.
They get sick of it.
Yeah, I can't do this stuff. Most of the rest of those people just throw it all away and, you know, look at the money. Because
look at our good,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, look at our favorite, you know, well, he's not anymore, but back in the day, our favorite statist, you know, Ron Paul, really nice guy or whatever. And he was in Congress for, what was it, like 30-something years? And honestly, if we take an honest, objective look, how much did he actually accomplish in the realm of government? Yeah, he maybe got a few things voted down. They called him Dr. No, which is cool. I'm not diminishing that. But his main role was to get media attention, to teach. Even though he was in the Congress, he started a movement. He inspired lots of people to look in different directions and consider ideas that they had never considered before. So he was a mentor and a teacher. He wasn't what we would consider in modern day society. He wasn't a successful lawmaker, you know. And the guy was in Congress for 30 years, and he was principled, and he stuck to his principles. So, I mean, to think that you can go in there and make all this change, it's folly.
Yeah, oh, of course. But, you know, again, so many people just cling to it because they haven't had that moment. They didn't have that, you know, breakthrough by seeing somebody like Ron Paul and then question that. All they know is the status quo. So that's all you know. That's all you're going to do.
Yeah. And in my article, I don't remember the exact line, but I said I think it would benefit humanity in general to stop clinging to these.
We're out.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Trigger Weens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Talk about before the break. Voting is completely useless.
How lame the government is.
The shadow government rules all.
Yeah. They think they do.
Well, yeah. Well, it's because other people think the other government does. So that's all that matters. So it doesn't matter what they think they do. They get to get away with it.
Well, you know, I've got a guy that I'm friends with on Facebook, and And he gets a lot of stuff, and he's like, you know, you're really not free. You can spout all your anarchist rhetoric and everything, but you're not free. And I get where he's coming from. And yeah, there's a lot of unnecessary tyranny that all of us are subjected to on a daily basis. But you know, I think freedom starts in your own head, and it goes outward from there. And if you're not free in your own mind, then sure, you know, the government and all the negative influences in the outside world will hinder your freedom. But I think if you're free out in your own head, you have a certain amount of freedom, and it goes from there. You know, you can kind of disregard all that nonsense that you see in the outside world that limits your freedom, and you can actually gain more freedom that way. But you got to get there first and stop focusing on all the negative.
Well, sure. I mean, for me, it was, you know, once you realize that it really is just like, it's a belief system that holds this whole thing together. It's not, you know, if more people just stop believing that the power could actually be wielded by these people, then it would stop being done. you know, so people just, but until then, you have to deal with the fact that people just don't get it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Friday night, I've been in a kind of a weird space the last week or so, and I decided when I got out of work, I was just going to go take a hike out in the woods, not very far or anything, and grabbed a couple of really strong big bottles of beer and my portable radio, and I went and hiked out in the woods. And, you know, I'm sure I broke lots of rules or whatever, doing what I did, but I kind of got to this place where it didn't matter, and I wasn't so concerned with what's going to happen if I get caught, you know, drinking a beer in the woods or whatever. And, you know, I had a little bit of an epiphany, and I don't need to go into that, but it was interesting, you know, and I felt a certain level of, I don't even want to say freedom because that's not accurate, but it was a certain release, and I had an insight that I didn't have before. And I think it's activities and moments like that that if people enabled themselves to have more often, they would feel better. You kind of appreciate things, you know, as bad as things seem to be. And I'm not like sticking my head in the sand. Things are need a lot of improvement. But when you have moments like that, the world just doesn't seem quite that bad, you know?
Sure. Well, it still is that bad. But I take it from a slightly different angle. That's the type of stuff that I think it does make you freer, actually, you know, and I that's what I look for, like, you know, all those things that you can, you know, just not comply with because who are you hurting? Okay. And you just do it, and you're just like, well, what if I take this to a higher level and do it, yep, you know, and do it in a different situation? And if more and more people start doing that, then everybody could be freer from all this silliness. But I think, you know, I think it's something, I don't know. I get the release thing that you're talking about, because I definitely, when I do stuff, like at first it was, you know, like, you know, act of rebellion and whatever, but now it really is. Yeah. It's like I feel good about it. Like I feel better, just, you know, and not like excited, happy about it, but like, you know, yeah, this is the way things should be. So I should feel just like almost normal about it.
Right, it's not rebelling for the sake of rebelling. It's, I'm going to do something that's not harming anyone else and making me feel real good. And the plus side is that maybe it broke a few silly rules, but I'm doing it for my own spiritual and physical benefit. So, yeah, whatever.
Worms.
Has it been an hour already?
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Liberty Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Libpair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back for the second hour. This is Jeremy. I'm here with Chandler.
And we're not doing LSD.
Unfortunately, no, we are not. I miss LSD.
Me too, actually. No, you can't backtrack. You miss it. We know.
Yes, I do.
I miss it too. You know, it's been, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. My daughter is 17, so it's been 18 years since I've consumed any hallucinogenic substance.
Wow. That's a very, very long time.
Yeah, I know. Almost this summer, but not quite. Should have been.
Yes, it should have been. But that's another story. It's been over a decade, I think, since I've done, at least over a decade since I've done LSD. But yeah, those were good times.
Yep. Unfortunately, what?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and they definitely were good times. They weren't lame times because they didn't involve the CIA dosing us. We did cool things. Yes. Like my local peeps know, you know, we used to drop acid and go out to Hobbit Land, this amazing place in the woods, and, you know, pretend we were at one with nature, but we were really just tripping balls.
Yeah, all my best ones were outside.
The indiscretions of youth.
Yes. Yeah, we'll chalk it up to that, sure.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. But you mentioned the CIA, and yes, that's the, I was going to say that too. It could be used for fun, it could be used for introspective purposes, and then it could be used for just pretty much...
Because you're a dick?
Sadist type stuff with the system, with the government. Like, there's, you know, most people I think at this point have heard of MK Ultra, which is, you know, the program where the government pretty much just dosed people
mind control,
the whole thing. But they got really, really, like, there's this article that's from, what is it, listverse.com. I think I originally saw it from crack.com, but in either case, it's titled 10 Insane Ways the CIA Drugged People with LSD. And I had heard some of these stories, but, like, some of them are just like, what? Like, even when you know how horrible government can be and what has actually been proven over the years, whether people actually pay attention to it or not, like, despite, no, you know, no matter how much you come, you know, how much you come across, at least for me, I still end up getting shocked, even though I say I wouldn't put anything past them. And when I come across stories like this, I'm like, really? They went to this level? Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's just go through the list here. And okay, so number 10, agents slipped each other LSD. Now, you know, you're thinking cool party, you know, some good music, the raves, not so much. When they first started experimenting, I guess they had some scruples, maybe, and they were like, all right, let's see what this does. And they started, you know, dosing their own agents, and it became known that oftentimes your morning coffee had acid in it, and they just considered it an occupational hazard. Now think, you know, James Bond on LSD. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know. That's
so yeah. It got so bad that in 1954 they had the CIA had an office party, and they had to put out a memo specifically stating, "Please do not put LSD in the punch." Yeah, this is not a rave.
Oh man, that Well, I mean, at least they're harming themselves in that case. And, you know, as long as they're in a confined space when they're doing it, I'm sure they're not going to harm anybody but other agents. So I really wouldn't consider that a loss. if they're out in public and they're just dosing them and sending them out into the world, that could be a different story, especially if they're carrying a weapon.
Oh, but that comes next. Number nine is... The CIA basically had a magician teach them sleight of hand so that they could dose people with a certain amount of discreet, I guess. They hired a professional illusionist, John Mulholland. He wrote a manual specifically so that... agents could add a little zest to your drink with a splash of LSD. Taught them how to distract and misdirection using dramatic actions so that they could just drop a couple tabs in your drink and it's all good. Right?
Yeah. Why not? You know, what's consent when you're doing, you know, what does a consent matter when you're doing research? I mean, come on now.
See, now I've often had, well, not me personally, a friend of mine has had this fantasy. What would it be like if you were a waiter at some, you know, dinner where, I don't know, the president or, you know, some upper member of the government was giving their speech, and you know this person may have just inadvertently dropped a couple hits of really strong acid into, you know, said government official's drink, and then just stood by with a camera. What would that look like? I bet it could be pretty funny. Probably not the president, because, like, you know, doesn't he have his finger on the button or some craziness? But yeah, it would be funny to watch, but I wouldn't condone that sort of thing because it does violate the non-aggression principle. But if somebody else did it, I'd certainly, you know, log into YouTube and watch it.
Well, again, for people like that, I guess I wouldn't feel bad. But I have somebody like my uncle's best friend when my two uncles, actually, when they were growing up, they had a best friend who got kind of dosed in a situation like that with something even more. Well, LSD probably wouldn't have been so bad, but I think he got dosed with PCP and it fried his brain, and he became, like, you know, almost a vegetable. Like, he wanders around pretty much brain dead, like 30, 40 years later, still wandering around the same town because he can't go, you know, still lives with his family, can't go very far. And it's, you know, so that's why I don't condone it, because you could really hurt people. But an agent of the state, well, you know, you signed up for certain things.
Yeah, it's an occupational hazard, right?
Exactly. So, this was funny. Number eight is the CIA hired prostitutes to drug their clients. Now, this sounds right up their alley. This sounds, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it? The CIA set up a brothel and paid prostitutes $100 to lure unsuspecting men inside. Once there, the men were given LSD-laced liquor and brought to a bed next to a one-way mirror with the agent sitting on the other side watching. That's just, you know,
what, you can't rent
on top of everything else.
You can't just rent a porn movie to get your rocks off. You got to dose people and watch through a one-way mirror. And you left out the best part. What was the operation called?
Oh, yes. The operation was called Midnight Climax. They are so creative and so witty, aren't they?
Yeah.
This, you know... again, like it's funny when you hear like this story, but then when you realize that, well, yours or somebody else's at that time, you know, somebody else's tax dollars were paying for this insanity.
Yeah. Well, and the end of the paragraph, it says, unofficially, however, this may have just been an excuse for CIA agents to watch people have sex. The head of the project, George White, later wrote that it was fun, and mused, where else could a red-blooded American lie, kill, cheat, steal, rape, and pillage with the sanction and blessing of all the highest? There's government for you. Hey, at least they're honest.
Well, yeah, I often say when crazy stuff like that comes out, at the very least, they're not just trying to hide it anymore, you know. But then I also lose even more respect for the people that just sit there and shake their and, you know, shrug their shoulders and go, well, that's government. And then they move on. It's like, no. Yeah, that's government. But this is why we need it to go away.
Yeah.
Because they're now admitting the crazy stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
And you're...
Yeah. Unconsenting dosage. You know, I another great movie recommendation, and it's an old one, but I'm sure a lot of people have seen it, but if you haven't, check it out. It's a movie with William Hurt called Altered States.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, and it's not directly related to LSD and drugs, in a roundabout sort of way, and sensory deprivation and the whole study of that. And I think it's actually based on real events.
Yes, it is.
Loosely. So I think I saw that one night while I was tripping balls. And
that would be interesting.
Later went back to it when I was sober, you know, for the, you know, the informational benefit of watching it, and actually looked up the stuff. But yeah, so number 7, kind of sad. Mental patients were actually drugged into comas.
Yeah, this is just wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, there was a, and I work in the mental health field, so this kind of hits me. There are definitely medicinal benefits to controlled hallucinogenic substance ingestion if it's done in the proper way. But back then it wasn't always. And there was a scientist. What was his name?
Dr. Hebb.
Yeah, no, McGill and Dr. Cameron took this other guy, Dr. Hebb's, ideas a step further. They basically believed that they could rewrite a patient's brains, you know, if you're suffering from mental illness, and they dose you. When they...
Since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Up having the kitty's son. She gave birth to two cats, and my friend and I each had a very interesting cat, I'll say the least.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Oh, he was, you know, cats are interesting anyway, but man, that cat had some personality for sure. He used to lay out in the road, and, you know, cars would stop and honk at him to get out of the road. He'd, like, wave his paw at him. I'd have to, like, get up and go pull him out of the road. Yeah, he was something else. So, we were talking in the last segment about how evil the CIA is for their experimentation, often unwittingly, on people with LSD. And we're reading from an article on listverse.com, 10 Insane Ways the CIA Drugged People with LSD. And we left off on number 6. Now, this one kind of blows my mind. A man was reportedly kept high for 174 days. Now, I got to tell you, I went through a binge once when I was 16, and I did acid for a whole week. And it was fairly good acid. I'm sure it's not anywhere near the strength and potency of the acid they had in the 50s and 60s. But after that week, I was pretty much tapped out. I was spent. I can't imagine what somebody would go through to be kept, you know, that you're talking like almost half a year. And to be high constantly. And you don't sleep a lot when you're high on LSD.
You don't sleep at all. At least I never did. I couldn't sleep until I was like almost pretty much completely out of my system. And then you finally crash for a couple hours at least.
Well, when you do it for a week straight, even you kind of got to make, like, your body just says, no, I know I don't want to, but you need like a few hours anyway. So I'm assuming that, you know, after 174 days, the guy probably got at least 12 hours sleep. Let's hope. But yeah, there was a I guess some experiments simply tested how long these agents could keep somebody high. And yeah, you know, they did one test was 77 days straight, and there was a reported one for 174 days. And without surprise, after the experiment ended, you know, the patient pretty much appeared to be on a permanent trip for the rest of his life. I mean, that's the dangers. And to me, that illustrates the evil. You know, you're testing this for nefarious purposes and yada, 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 but you've basically ruined somebody's life. Like, they're never coming down. They're going to be in a perpetual trip, which is not as fun as it sounds. Again, I've worked with mentally ill people, and I've actually worked with one person very briefly who suffered from something very similar, and it's not as fun and cool as it may sound.
No, because, yeah, it's, you know, for a couple hours here and there, you know, it's great to be able to see things differently, but to have that happen all the time and lose touch, you essentially would lose touch with what you know is reality permanently.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just...
Yeah, that's a scary feeling when you're that...
Yeah.
You have that little control over reality. And yeah. Another evil, evil illustration is number 5. They gave LSD to a cat. Now, I've seen the... unfortunately, I can say I've seen the effects of that very unwittingly, and it's not a very cool thing.
Me as well. I've actually been witness to somebody... I walked in on a party where somebody had just recently dosed a cat. It was unpleasant to watch, and I think a couple of us ended up taking the guy outside and explaining to him very nicely, of course, why what he did was such a horrible, horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah. Well, apparently the CIA didn't just test witting and unwitting human subjects, but they did tests on cats and dogs. And one experiment, they put a sober cat in a cage with a mouse, and predictably the cat immediately snagged and ate the mouse. But then they loaded the cat up with LSD, and the cat's behavior changed. The cat was terrified of the mouse, and it would leap to the corner of its cage and try to scurry to safety. They actually made a video that was widely distributed in this article. They linked to the video, and I haven't even watched it. I don't want to because I'm afraid it'll break my heart.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either because, like I said, after I saw it that one time years ago, I would never want to watch that again. It was the one that I saw, like, there wasn't a mouse involved, but it was just under a table. Like, you could see how petrified it was.
Yeah,
just staring at everything going around, because it was a high school party in a basement with, like, you know, strobe lights or something, whatever we were using back in the day. And, you know, music blaring.
Yeah, animals have a different consciousness than humans, and they're not meant to experience that sort of thing. It's just very cruel. And they didn't stop with cats and dogs. Apparently, they just wanted to dose everything and see what happened. And they dosed an elephant.
Keep it drone-proof.
Wow.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Yeah, so when we, before we left for the market, I was babbling about the CIA's evil LSD experiments, and, you know, they didn't stop with cats and dogs and people. They actually overdosed an elephant, and they wanted to see what happened. They ended up killing an elephant, which is just disgusting and sad.
Well, that's disgusting and sad, but the reason they wanted to do it is also disgusting. They wanted to see if they could make it go crazy and trample. Like they're essentially saying that they wanted to use it as a weapon if possible.
Yep.
To be able to just shoot a dart of LSD into some village somewhere that they wanted to help take over or whatever, and just have the things, you know, stampede everybody.
Well, that's in the long run, I mean, this is what, yeah, that's what they wanted, LSD as a weapon. That's what all these tests at their heart were. Apparently, 1951, they drugged a French town. A town in France was overcome with sickness and hallucinations, and, you know, they describe it. Some of them are pretty horrible. And the official explanation was that a local bakery's bread was contaminated with ergot, which is it's basically a mold. It has psychedelic properties. And it later came out that the CIA had laced the bread with LSD. And, of course, they denied it at first or whatever, but it came out later. And, you know, five people died in that village, and a lot of people, I'm sure, had trauma, you know, because that's the thing. If for anyone out there who hasn't experimented with hallucinogens, if you know you're doing it and you want to and you're willing, usually, you know, I mean, there are exceptions, but usually it can be a pretty cool experience. But if you're not aware, think about just you're going about your everyday business and all of a sudden your entire perception of reality, you know, is flipped on its head and it changes and you don't know why. Like, are you having a psychotic break? What's going on? It's not a very pleasant experience. And that's, you know, that's what happened to a lot of these unwitting subjects.
Yeah. And this is when we started this, I said that a couple of these I was already aware of. This is one of the ones I was aware of. And like, this one is just like so evil. Like they just don't, not only do they dose like an entire town essentially, but if I remember the story correctly, the baker's life was like ruined because of this.
Oh yeah.
Because they blamed him, and that the CIA just let it happen. They let him get blamed for it. And this poor man, like he nothing, you know, nothing to do with this, and he got, his life was ruined because of this. And yeah, again, all these other people ended up getting, you know, having these experiences that they were not expecting. And, you know, like you said, it's quite jarring. You can't, you know, if you're not prepared for it, it can be jarring even when you are prepared for it. So imagine, yeah, if you're not, you know, imagine if you're in the middle of driving a car. Imagine,
yeah,
if you're a doctor in the middle of a surgery, you know, like any number of things. Like that's just, and again, just letting it loose, knowing that it's the possibility of all of these things and more happening is rather high. They don't care. They just do it anyway. And let some patsy take the fall for it. Like that's sadistic on a whole nother level.
Well, that's the state for you, you know, cold and unfeeling, calculated, and they'll do whatever to obtain their objectives, however demented they are. Number two, and I knew this one. This is one that I was familiar with. For a while, there were many plots in the 50s and 60s. Well, 60s, I guess I should say. Late 50s, early 60s. Hatched against Castro because the CIA, you know, from various reasons, hated Castro. And one of the mad schemes that came out was they were going to dose him with some LSD. And, you know, while he was giving a press conference on TV, and, you know, they were hoping that he'd just kind of flip out and make a fool of himself and discredit his movement and yada, yada, yada. And when they realized that that was not logistically practical, they just went from, we're not going to dose him, we're just going to kill him. And that led to a whole host of issues. But yeah, you know, they went from dosing somebody to plotting murder. Isn't that lovely?
Government, yeah. What would we do without ye?
Oh yeah, who would build those yellow brick roads? So number one says they only stopped because they found a better drug. Now, in 1962, the government released a clause that required agents to request special permission from the FDA before using LSD in an experiment. You know, the wild days of surprising people with LSD spiked drinks were coming to an end, and while MKUltra wouldn't be canceled for more than a decade, it started to come down. The CIA was already using LSD anyway. It would be nice to say that because they grew a conscience, they decided to stop. But no, that really wasn't the case. They stopped using LSD in their experiments because they found something even more potent, a drug called BZ, which it doesn't give a lot of information on here. There's a link to a government website that talks about very vaguely what it is, and it's more potent, and it's kind of closely chemically related to nerve gas. Now, you know, think about that for a minute. We're going from giving extremely strong doses of LSD to people unwillingly, which is bad enough, and now we're going to start testing, you know, a derivative of nerve gas. And if you're kind of wondering what this is, if you've ever seen the movie Jacob's Ladder. I cannot remember the guy's name. The guy that was, you know, had a thing for Susan Sarandon. He's the star of it. And
Tim Robbins?
Yes, Tim Robbins. That's who it is. Thank you. I was blanking on his name. He's the star of the movie. And it details the government's experiments with this drug during the Vietnam era, and it is horrifying. Like, I think if you go to Netflix or whatever, it's under thriller and horror are the two categories it's listed under. And the hallucinations and experiences that these soldiers were subjected to are just, it's disturbing. And, yeah. That's the CIA. That's your tax dollars hard at work. That's fighting for your freedoms, you know. So, you know, long story short, government's lame. And now we have just yet another reason to say that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the sad thing is stuff like this is the type of thing that comes out so much later that people just go, that was then, or they'll find some other way to rationalize or justify it. You know, I've heard people on this subject and other subjects like it kind of be like, they fall into the, you know, you got to crack a few, you know, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet mentality. Oh, it's like, yes. No, that's just horribly, horribly wrong. You know, like we were talking about, especially with this particular thing, with the LSD thing, like dosing unwitting people is not only just a violation of their consent, but you can endanger them depending on where they are. And also depending on where they are, you can endanger other people.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's a complete disregard for human life, all in the name of whatever it is they're claiming, science, or, you know, whatever name they could possibly put on it. And just the fact that so many things like this could happen and be known at this point, and people just still go, eh. Like, it's enough to make me want to beat my head against the wall regularly.
Sometimes. Yeah, well, as long as I have my McDonald's and my gasoline and my Diet Pepsi, who cares what they do? You know, many people, unfortunately, become complacent with the system, and any means that enable that system to continue are, you know, they might have a moral objection on the surface, but realistically, they don't. And that's just kind of sad. I think when more people start not only showing outrage, but, you know, actively involving themselves in ways that undermine these systems, that's when humanity may progress a little more. But, you know, the risk, as always, I mean, we were talking about Ben Stone's book, the three-pronged approach to the state there, and he talks about it a lot. There are inherent risks with any form of activism, you know, when you're fighting against an entrenched system, and you have to be aware of that. But I think overall, there is some niche that you can fit into, and I think it's worth it to dismantle these systems, because they can't continue indefinitely, and the sooner that they are dismantled and discredited, the better off humanity will be.
Well, yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, I talk about this quite often, because before Ben's book, there was the, you know, the podcast series he did on Beyond Civil Disobedience, which is similar ideas. And I've been preaching stuff like that since then, because that's the type of activism I choose to do. But I always preface it with, I don't expect anybody to follow behind me. I'm not going to demand that anybody follow behind me. I'd really appreciate it if people did.
Yeah.
because like you said, once more people do it, that's when it becomes easier. And it's, I always come back to that one silly, you know, a meme that's been around for years, you know, with the politician out on with the podium out on the gangplank,
yep,
over like a canyon, and all the people standing there, and the one person just turns around to start talk, you know, turn around to walk away, and it's, you know, basically if the people only realize their true power. And that's really what it is. Like, people think, you know, people get indoctrinated, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, to think that, you know, the only way you can show your power is to vote for who you want. Well, no. Opting out of the system is showing your power, and it doesn't. A lot of people I come across will say, well, that's not, people don't care if you, they don't care if you do that, you're not showing it to them. It's like, no, you're, that's not the point. One person, no. Two people, no. But the more and more people that do it, that's when it starts showing. And unfortunately, somebody has to start that. You know, there has to be people in the beginning.
Well, the state is inefficient, but it isn't stupid, and it is constantly making it more difficult for the average person to opt out of their systems. It's not impossible, and it's difficult. So the key is disregard that difficulty. Opt out whenever you can. Exactly. Make them irrelevant.
There are ways, people. I do it all the time.
Go to the market. The free market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
So we're back for the redemption in the third act. Do we have
and
something?
Yeah, we do. And I have to close Facebook because the video I watched was not redemption.
Oh, why did you go and ruin things for yourself?
I know. So I came across this article, and to me, this seems like perfectly logical and actually not new, but I guess it's a new trend that's developing. There's a school in, I believe it's Baltimore, Maryland, that's replaced detention with meditation, and the results are stunning. Apparently, there's the school that has a quiet room, but it's not your traditional windowless, gray, dull quiet room. It has decorations and plush pillows, and kids are sent there, and they're encouraged to engage in what they call mindfulness. And it's basically meditation, and they talk to them, they help them calm down and meditate and recenter themselves. And this to me makes a lot of sense, because I can remember being in school, and I for the most part, school was just blah at best. I mean, there were rare moments when it was exciting and you actually learned something, but it wasn't all that great. Now, you have kids who are typically tend to be full of energy, restless, they're inquisitive, and they want to manifest that energy, and they're told to sit still and listen to a teacher lecture or read from a boring old dusty textbook. So, of course, you're going to get behaviors, as they like to call them. And when you do, this school has decided to send these kids to meditation. I think that's definitely one good approach. They've seen a decline in what they call disruptive behaviors, and kids that engage in this not just as an alternative for detention, but also as a kind of lifestyle practice. They're seeing improved attention spans, more focus, less anger, less acting out. I think another thing to consider along with this, and I'm not sure if it's been done. I think it may have been, but it should be, is physical activity. If you have a kid who is acting out, let them go out or go into the gym and, run laps or bounce a basketball or lift a couple weights. Let them do that for 5 or 10 minutes. Get that energy out, in a more positive direction. The old school model of education and discipline is so limiting, unsuccessful, and outdated. I think it's time to embrace new methods like this. I know a lot of people in this article, they talk about letting the kids work through why they were acting out and talk about it. And you'll get some old school disciplinarians and be like, kids don't need to talk about that, blah, blah, blah. But I actually think there's a lot of benefit to that, because I think not only can the child learn something, but you as an adult, educating this child can learn why they're acting out and how you could maybe give a little bit of a different approach to prevent that sort of behavior.
Sure.
I mean, you're a parent. You must know what it's like.
Yeah, I guess. No, you definitely, it's definitely a lot better than how they do things currently. I think the interesting thing that I saw about this, and which also ties in with the only negative I also saw with this, is that they said not only is they see the this drop in disruptive behavior and all these things, but overall, like, suspensions are down and attendance is up. The attendance being up is kind of depressing to me.
Well,
but overall, I mean, when you don't just sit kids down and force, like, they're already forced to sit to begin with. You put them in detention, you force them to sit even longer.
Yeah.
And not stare at a wall for the most part. Yeah. I remember those days.
How and productive.
You're not allowed
is
to
that?
Do anything. Not allowed to read anything. Maybe write an essay. Whatever the teacher or whoever's in there picks. It's horrible.
Yes.
There's definitely better ways to handle these things. And yeah.
Skip school and go to the library. That's what I used
to do. There you go. You can go learn about meditation from a book and then you can do it yourself too.
Exactly. Well, it's great yakking with you, Jeremy, and all you folks out there in Radio Land.